Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our head and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here in your presence. And we know you watch our service. So I pray that when we raise our voice, we singing, we praise you, you would be pleased. For the rest of time, we give the glory to you, Father. And I pray that you use my mouth to share the message from the scripture, from your word and your word only. I also pray that the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people present in this room can hear your voice and apply the scripture to their life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When the devil fights back, you may be said, for the last few weeks, so many things going on around the world, and a lot of people have fear. And today, I'm talking about one of the fear the people face way back. Because we already go through chapter 1, the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit ascended on the people, they will share the message in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all over the world. And on the chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit actually ascending to Christ, disciple. And a lot, some miracle happened. And within about 3 or 4 minutes of Peter preaching, about 3 or 4,000 people came to Christ. And we come to chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple and they saw the lame beggar person. And the miracle happened. The lame beggar person can stand up and dancing with joy. And then when you get to chapter 4, and you find out something happened. But it's also talking about the fear. Fear is a human natural emotion. It's happened for everyone. So if somebody telling you they have no fear, or they claim they're afraid of nothing, and you would find out they probably not. They're not being honest. But it's also in the Bible when it's talking about the spirit of fear. And the Bible, when you study in the book of 2 Timothy, it's talking about the spirit of fear is not come from God. So if the spirit of fear is not come from God, so where does it come from? And that's the thing we had to face during this time. Because the fear actually, if the spirit of fear actually, it come from the devil or from your own sinful flesh. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. So he could give you the authority, the power to overcome the fear, the spirit of fear. And it gives you the courage to tell the people about Jesus, even in the very, very difficult circumstances. I picked the message, the memory verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So that's the reality if we have the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in our heart. Three things is happening in the book of the Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. You find out Peter and John face the condition. Okay, three things happen. You would find out the discouraged condition is happened when they're so excited, they share the message, and then they heal the lame person, and something happened. It's very, very discouraged. And you see they had to face the confrontation. It kept dramatic. They brought into the Sadducee and Sanhedrin. And to face the church people, okay? And thirdly, they have to make certain decision. You would find out the decision from the people and the decision from and Peter and John. And that's the process each one of you eventually you have to face when you deal with sin situation or sin hardship. Okay? We go point by point. Number one, discouraging condition which John and Peter had to face. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came up on them. Being greatly disturbed at that, they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they lay hand on them, put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So what happened in the passage? You would find out Peter and John, on that day, they just hear the lame beggar in the temple. And the beggar is very much well known to the people because every day for the last like 40 years, he went to the temple, or we can say he went to the church and just begged for something from the people. So the people know this person. So when Peter and John take the lame person into the temple and there is a commotion happen, it's attraction of the people to come to him. And of course, you know, Peter and John, they're very smart. They take the people out of the temple and gathering in, they call it Solomon Gate. It's been outside the temple and begin to share the message. But however, the commotion attract attention of Jewish leaders, religious leaders at that time. So the captain of the temple, the Bible talking about, the temple, you find out they have their own guards to take care of any trouble in the temple, and they're gathering around and they watch. But it's also the presence of the Sadducees, okay? The Sadducees is very much the society at that time. They had the Pharisee. The Pharisee is very much trying to hold on to the law, the Old Testament law. And the Sadducees, the segment, the smaller number, but however, they very, very carry very much weight for the society or the political system at that time, because they worked for the Romans, the government, so they always try to protect their own interests. So their power is very high. So the story talking about the temple officer took Peter and John into the custody. But the Bible also talking about the Sadducees, they were very upset. Why they so upset? Because you would find out because the Sadducees, they not believe in the resurrection. And here, Peter and John talking about the resurrection. And there's a conflict there because they did not believe in any kind of bodily resurrection. Just review a little bit. The Pharisees, they hold on to the law. They protect protected of the law, but they believe in the resurrection. However, the segment of the Sadducees, okay, they not believe in the resurrection. So there is a conflict. And you find out the Sadducees, they cooperate with the Roman, the government. So they hold tremendous power. So anything is would create or reduce their power, they would against it. And that's normal for the people at that time, and probably normal for the people today. But it also gives us the lesson when we study this passage, or just verse 1 to 4. You would find out when the Lord or God begin to do the work, and then the devil will try to discourage. Anytime when you do something, you know, to the Lord, and you find out, oh, it's good, and something is on way happen. So it's happened in the past, it will happen today, and probably for the future. So the passage from Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, gives us that lesson. It's reminding us when you do something good to the Lord, something, the challenge would face. And because if you know something may happen, so you can set the expectation so you would not surprise what thing from happen. The devil or the discouraged you very much try to make you to give up, But worse yet, he would tempt you to compromise the gospel. So usually, when you're under the pressure of the society or certain power for this world or this present time, you may, they call it, water down the gospel. So I would not offend you. And that's what happened in the past, and it would happen for today's world also. But you also need to understand that based on verse 1 to 4, God is still at work, even when the devil attacks. As the result of Peter's passage, when you continue to read to verse 4, 5,000 more people came to Christ. So that's the price they had to face. When they share the message, people came to Christ, and they will face a challenge. But you would find out for the next few verses how the Lord and how Peter and John would react and what kind of conclusion or decision they had to make. So you would find out the next step is discourage them. Suddenly, they very much put in jail, hold it for a night. And the next thing, they had to face the confrontation. It's verse 5 to 12, but I will read from verse 8 to verse 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elder of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved." It's a very strong word when he faced with the, we can say, the government at that time. So what happened after verse 4? So you find out the next day, Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is very much like the religious group. They put together, it represents the council at that time. You could find out in the passage, it's talking there is Annas and Caiaphas. So Annas had been the high priest, but were disposed by the Roman government. So even so, most of the Jew people regarded him as a high priest. So for that council, that Sanhedrin, you will find out there's a leader, and Annas is a high leader at that time. And the name of the mansion is Caiaphas, was Annas' son-in-law. It's also the high priest. So there is the representative and then a bunch of high priests gathered together and very much govern the law at that time. So the reason Dr. Luke mentioned these two names, Annas and Caiaphas, because both men instrumentally put Jesus Christ to the death. If you go back and study the book of Luke, it's mentioned these two names. So these two persons also carry on to the book of Acts. So they asked Peter and John the trick question. By what power or by what name have ye done this? This, you know, very, very honest question. But it's also the trick question. Okay, what is the power you have? In the name of the power, you do that. So you could find out, if you study in Deuteronomy chapter 13, the law of Moses warned about the false prophets or anybody perform sign and wonder. If they do that, put them to death. So that reason why they wait for Peter and John to answer. But again, by the will of God and the wisdom of Christ or the Holy Spirit in them. So they give a very good answer if you study the book of Acts. Because the Sanhedrin at that time, they wait for the answer. If Peter and John said they performed this miracle by the name of whatever God, it means that the false God. But if the false God, and then they will be stoned to the death. But you would find out Peter and John, by the Holy Spirit, he gave three important truths. So he tell the truth. Witness is mean to tell the people about the truth. So he didn't say because of this name or that name, because if they say that, they get the stone to the death. So they tell the truth, what happened to the lame beggar. So it said, the lame beggar healed by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in verse 10. But that is true, because the people witness, okay, witness this lame beggar become whole, can stand up and walk. So he said the truth that the lame man be healed by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? And he said the second truth. Second truth, Jesus' death and resurrection fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy, also in verse 10. Okay? That's the second truth. And of course, a lot of people at that time also experienced or witnessed, okay, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter and John very much said, I was there. I am the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I tell the truth. And second and third point, he also said the truth. Jesus is the only way of salvation in verse 12. So if you study the way Peter answered, he goes through the process, okay? He starts with something the people see in the temple. And he come to his own experience in terms of witnessing, okay, that resurrection. And then the thirdly, he talking about, he come to the conclusion. So because of verse 10, the lame man be healed by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the death of resurrection fulfilled Old Testament, therefore Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, so he can save the people. That's a very smart way when he faced Peter and John face confrontation. And the same thing it can apply to us. When you face confrontation to share the message, you go through the same process if you study the book of Acts or you study the way of Peter answer the question. And just the today world, you may find out a lot of people, they may exercise or they study the book. And they said there's dual covenant. There's two covenant, especially when you talk with the Jewish people. They said one covenant, the Jew had their own covenant with God. So it's not necessary for them to trust Jesus Christ as salvation. So you go out in the world, you would see some people said, hey, you know, my covenant with God, so I don't need Jesus Christ. But if you study the book of Acts, you would find out Peter, okay, he told the Jewish religious leader that salvation found only in Jesus Christ. So for false doctrine, if somebody telling you there is a dual or double covenant, and that false doctrine based on the book of Acts, it's only one doctrine, people save through Jesus Christ alone only, nothing else. Okay, but you would see or you hear that a lot, especially if you study the word. And now come the conclusion. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to I'm work this one in Vietnamese first. I forgot to put this one in English. But in verse 18 to 20th, okay, it goes from verse 13 to 20th, but I will read from verse 18 to verse 20. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the thing which we have seen and heard. When you study, continue to study from verse 5 to 12, you find out that Sanhedrin, they didn't know what they supposed to do with Peter and John, because the way Peter and John, you know, when they answer the question, so the ancient, very logically, okay, and full of the Holy Spirit. So they don't know, they don't have the reason why to hold them. Because if Peter and John said, okay, by initially, I'm healed this person by whatever, and then they will be stoned to the death. But however, they tell the truth about, and the people can see it. So the Sanhedrin didn't know what to do with them. And that was very interesting. But they also marvel, kind of surprised about their boldness. Because when you go back and you read the word, you say they were unlearned and ignorant. So they consider Peter and John is unlearned and ignorant. So it doesn't mean that Peter and John, they're completely illiterate. It means they cannot read and talk, that kind of thing. But they certainly did not have the same level of education as a Jewish religious leader. So very much, if translation for today were, hey, these two persons, they uneducated, okay? They are the fishermen, they're very low education. But how in the world they can say something like this, logically, like a very highly educated person. So when you read this message, you will find out the Lord really provide to his follower or his believer with the help of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes just the tricky question, and somehow God opened the mind of Peter and John and gave it just unbelievable answer. Okay? Probably some of you may experience this too. Sometime when you pray to God and you deal with some situation and people ask you the question, and somehow God, the Holy Spirit, fill your mind with an answer. And when you answer, and when you get home, and you go, how in the world I can think that answer is just so just unbelievable, okay? But normally I cannot have or come up with that answer. And that's the work of the Lord, so we can recognize it. But one thing they know, these two men, Peter and John, has been with Jesus. And they cannot deny the miracle happened, because everybody see it. It's right in front of the beautiful gate. People see it, so they cannot deny the miracle happened. So what can they do? They make some decision, okay, from their perspective. Oh, we have to scare them to the death, okay? So they decide to put some fear into them. They command them not to speak or not to teach in the name of Jesus Christ, okay? You do whatever you do, but you cannot speak about in the name of Jesus Christ. And you see that happen a lot, okay? Way back when I worked in the industry, okay, the Lord gave me the chance to go to second country, and when I deal with the people in other country, in another company, a lot of company out there, okay, they have the policy. You cannot talk about God or Jesus Christ in this facility. That's the policy. So the people, if you talk about Christ at your workplace, you will be fired. So put the fear into the people, and you would see that a lot. So many people right now in public, they afraid to pray, you know, at the conclusion of the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we usually pray. But because of the fear of discrimination, the fear of whatever, so they say, I pray in the name of Almighty something. Amen. So the fear of say, they put the fear in the mind of the people to say the name of Jesus Christ. And it happened a lot, everywhere, out there. So now Peter make the decision. Okay, he under the pressure. You can do, we will let you free. But however, you cannot say anything, mention the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot preach, or you cannot teach about anything with the name of Jesus Christ. So you find out Peter have to have an answer. It's just unbelievable when you read this passage. Okay, they say that and just Peter, just boom, say right away. He not just hesitation, he not thinking, okay, let me go home and think about it and pray about it, or whatever. No, it's just so quick response if you read the passage. So he responds, you know, he would obey God first. If you go study the history a little bit, you would understand the Jewish people, the Jew, they understood their first loyalty is to God. So that reason why, when you study in history, they resisted when Pontius Pilate tried to bring the image of Caesar into Jerusalem. Because the law at that time, when they tried to bring Caesar into Jerusalem, okay, they want the people to worship Caesar. And the Jewish people said, we had to put the law our God first. So they understand that. Okay? But again, for this point in time, they against anything talking about Jesus Christ. But you understand from Peter and John's perspective, they had witnessed the greatest event in the history or in the world at that time. So they cannot silence because they was there. They saw the resurrection of Christ. They know the Christ ascending to heaven. And they understand Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He was with God and He is God. So he understands that. But a lot of people just cannot understand that. So they cannot keep silence. But it's also come to us. Come to us. We live in the world. And sometimes we have to make certain decisions. Should I listen and obey the order of the authority against Jesus Christ, our Lord? Or we obey our Lord, our God? So the decision had to be made. And based on 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, 16, our first duty to obey God. You would find out you were to work certain policy will against you even to say the name of Jesus Christ in the workplace. But you have to pray to God so you can have the wisdom, you've full of the Holy Spirit, have the wisdom so you can share the message boldly to the people and without any consequence or, you know, side effect on whatever you communicate. And it happened a lot. So I pray to God that we cannot just because our fear prevented us from standing for Christ. Because you will find out He will give you the wisdom so you can open up the situation and ease out the situation and put the right word in your mouth so you can share the message properly and bring the people to Christ. Because if you put your trust in God and do whatever He has commanded to you to do, He will give you the courage to stand strong. Some of you already experienced our church. I think it's organized by Michelle and some of you here for the fire department. Over 1,200 people walk through our church. And do you know on the day of that event that I was in here, we set up the schedule and people come to this room to pray and accept Christ. And a couple of guys, you know, old man and young man and all of that, they just crying because they see whatever you do. And they know there is existence of God, there is existence of Christ in your heart. And one of the young men come to me in this room. And he said, he's afraid to talk about Christ. He was a Christian. He's the believer. And he go to work, and somehow the fear set in him. So he had the trouble to share the message. And even though the Lord gave him uncapped opportunity, bring the people to him, but he's still afraid. So he asked me to pray in this room for him, so he had the boldness and the courage to share the message. Because a lot of people in pain out there, a lot of people in sadness in their heart, and they may cross paths with you. Okay? They may ask, kept open question about why are you so joyful? And you have to be able to share Christ. Okay? So why you always have some energy and happiness and, you know, see the smile in your eyes, and that's the opportunity to share the message. Because of people searching for something, and I'd rather they found Christ so they can have the peace in their mind, the joy in their heart, so they can become a good person to impact other people. Let us stand up. So let's read this verse together. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Read one more time, exactly the same verse, and then try to put your name in there somehow. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Okay, put your name in there and read. Okay, thank you. If I suffer as a Christian, let me not be ashamed, but let me glorify God in this matter for whatever situation you have to face. Okay? May the Lord be with you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word is very clear. If it happened for Peter and John way back, it may happen to us today. So I pray you will give us the courage. You would give us the trust, the courage to stand strong. And we would obey your command, whatever you ask us to do. So I pray you would put the people in front of us. Sometimes they have the open question about something, about the peace and the joy we have. So we would be sensitive enough or quick enough to share your love and your message about you, Jesus Christ. So we love you, and may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the people in this room, your children in this room, to give the courage to stand strong for now and forever. Amen.